those of y'all don't know, that is Essential Zone, Marshall and Allison Handy and their family, which you'll be seeing a lot of this Christmas. We actually went out on a limb and went and kind of filmed our own video for Christmas. There's the lights. All right, y'all, I thought there was somebody in the room. Went ahead and filmed our own little series, little mini-series for Christmas, and there's a little episode every week that you'll get about making it a picture-perfect Christmas. So if you have a Bible with you, we're going to end up over in Luke chapter 2 eventually, so if you want to turn there, you can. And in this series, we're kind of talking about how oftentimes we have this picture of a picture-perfect Christmas. Maybe it was shaped by a movie. Maybe it was shaped by your childhood. Maybe it was shaped by just some idea you always had of how Christmas was supposed to be. It's kind of like some people look forward to Christmas like they looked forward to their wedding when they were growing up. It's just kind of like you have this idea of what it's going to look like and how everything's going to act and everything's going to be. And so we're sure that there's somebody out there who experiences this, right? I mean, there's somebody out there who like they wake up on Christmas morning. The hot chocolate is already brewing, and the kids wake up without any bedhead, so they look perfect for all the pictures. And the kids sleep in and wait for you to get up. They don't run down to see what Santa brought. They come and they knock on the door gently and say, "Mom, Dad, if you are awake, we would love to go down and have you film us as you capture the surprise on our face with all that Santa has brought." And not only that, they let you sleep in, you know, just a little bit long. I mean, how many of y'all got the 5 a.m. kids on Christmas? My goodness. I'm sure there's somebody out there that would have the happiest Christmas since Big Ben Crosby tap dance with Danny Kay. Some of y'all know that reference. But for many of us, Christmas is a little different than that. Christmas is quite often a train wreck. Christmas is quite often like the second half of that video. You kind of have all these things you planned out and it doesn't work that way. Some of you all know this Christmas is going to be a train wreck. It's going to be a Christmas that's very different than every other. There's been a lot of changes perhaps in your family. There's maybe your family is not the same as it was last year. Maybe Christmas this year is splitting time from one house to another. Christmas lights, all right. You know, and I understand it. It's kind of a daunting thing when you're dealing with Christmas and now your spouse has a different person in their house to celebrate Christmas with, some newer, younger, fitter, firmer, different spouse to spend Christmas with. And it makes things a little difficult when you think about it. And you think about what's this Christmas going to be like, and you know that what you're headed for is not a picture-perfect Christmas. Maybe this is your first Christmas alone. Maybe some of you are longing for it to be a Christmas alone, but you know you got more people coming in than you want to spend Christmas with. And you laugh because you know that happens. And sure they can come. You know you're going to be working more hours than you want. You know you can't afford the kind of Christmas that your kids want. And all this pressure seems to be building on to how to make this Christmas a picture-perfect Christmas. And you know it's going to be anything but a picture-perfect Christmas as you move towards that. And so when you think about this picture-perfect Christmas, what often happens is you get these expectations in your head, and then you try to prepare for them, and you work really hard to try to make it into something that you want it to be. And the problem is that we're putting too much pressure on the people in our lives to make Christmas perfect. We're putting too much pressure on the stuff in our lives to make Christmas perfect. We're putting too much pressure on the decorations and the music and the right setting to make the picture-perfect Christmas a reality. Because people aren't built for that kind of pressure. And the kind of stuff that it costs to make that kind of Christmas costs too much. And all of the decorations without the reason for them can't handle the moment at all. And so I'm not really just kind of getting to the point of, you know, put Christ back in Christmas. I really just kind of want you to think about, you know, what is Christmas and how do we celebrate? How do we make it a picture-perfect Christmas? Because when you think about human standards, look back on the first Christmas. That first Christmas was a train wreck by human standards, wasn't it? I mean, just think, sink, let this sink in for a minute. You've got this young couple who's pregnant outside of marriage, and they got to go tell everybody about it. They show up in Bethlehem. The reason why, there's no room in the inn. Why are they looking for an inn in the first place? Well, isn't their whole family supposed to be in town for the census? Just let that sink in for a minute. All your family's in town. You've got relatives in town, but you're having to look for a hotel room. Nobody wants the unwed pregnant mother coming to stay with them for Christmas. Even the own family doesn't want them. And then they go to try to find a place to spend Christmas, that first Christmas together, and they're not wanted in the inn. And you kind of think to yourselves, it's because there wasn't room. Well, here's the deal. in that day and age, it wasn't like Motel 6 where everybody gets their own room. A hotel room would be one big room, and everybody would be sleeping on the floor in this one big room. So let me ask you, you're the innkeeper. Pregnant lady shows up, wants to have a baby there that night. You want a pregnant lady having a baby in the middle of your inn? Not good for business. Sorry, I don't have room. So where does she end up? She ends up in this manger out back. And if you look at it, I mean, not to mention the fact that she had an unexpected road trip right in the middle of her pregnancy. How many of y'all ladies are up for that right there, okay? We don't know she had a donkey. She may have hoofed it on foot the whole way. I don't know. We're just hoping that Joseph was kind and compassionate enough to go buy a donkey or something to get her there. So when you think about that first Christmas, it was an absolute train wreck. Hey, nice of you to join us. It was an absolute train wreck by all standards. Absolute train wreck. Yet, I think from God's perspective, it was exactly as he wanted it to be. It was exactly as he wanted it to be. I mean, he is the God who controls outcomes. There was nothing on Christmas that surprised him in the least. It wasn't like as if he was like, dang it, I had this whole thing worked out. Now there's no room at the inn. Now this, you know, Caesar's making a move. It wasn't like that at all. It was exactly as he had planned it out. And it was amazing. And Christ was the center of it. And at the end of the day, God had written himself into the human story. And it was amazing. As if to say, if that's all that happened in that moment, it doesn't matter what else happened around it. It was perfect. And so I want to go back and kind of look at this picture-perfect Christmas that God creates and see how is it we can prepare ourselves to have a picture-perfect Christmas even in the midst of circumstances that would seem like a train wreck surrounding it. And you got Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds out living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news, understatement of the century, of the millennium, of all time. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And if you're not Jewish and you don't know what it means to be looking forward to the birth of the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah, you don't have a clue. They have not heard from God in over 400 years. And they've been looking forward to this Messiah coming for thousands of years. And you're sitting out on a field and some angels show up in the middle of nowhere and say, guess what? Today's the day. I mean, I can't give you the impact of that because you're not a Jew in first century who would have, you know, been thinking of this. But it says, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly the great heavenly host appeared with the angels. First, it's just this one angel coming on. Then like all of his friends show up to get in on the party. And they all start showing up and they're praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angel had left them to go back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Joseph and Mary and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the first thing we need to do to prepare for picture-perfect Christmas as God wants it to be is to simply come and see. Christmas is an invitation to come and see what God has done. And in this season, what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of things out there crying for you to come and to see them. Advertisers are all about wanting you to come and see their sales. And there's events all over town wanting you to come and see their holiday lights, Christmas lights, whatever they want to call them. There's going to be all kinds of things beckoning you to come and see, come and see, come and see and do. There's the Nutcracker that's going on over at the Chrysler Hall. There's the Story concert, which is going on over at the, I think it's the Scope. It's going on this year. I don't know where it's going on this year. It's just like, there's all these different things you can come and see and you can go and do. In the midst of that is this gentle voice of God saying, will you please just come and see Jesus this Christmas? And putting Christ in Christmas isn't really about what you're saying. It's not about Xmas or happy holidays. It's about really coming and trying to see him for who he is and being intentional about it. And I love how when Mary is sitting there and all this stuff is going on, it says in verse 19 of this passage, it says, and Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured up all these things and she pondered in her heart. The Greek language there means that to savor. To keep that moment alive. To think down beyond of what just happened and contemplate the meaning of. In other words, it's not just I want to go come and see and just do a quick drive-by. or where I just come and say, okay, yeah, it's Christmas scene. Okay, cool. Yeah, I know the story by heart. I've seen it every single year. Yeah, kids, just sing the song. I got somewhere to be. You'll go. It's not just about coming and seeing and just witnessing it. When we talk about coming to the Christmas Eve service, it's not just about, you know, coming and being there for it, making that a part of your tradition. It's about really pondering what it means that God has written himself into the human story. I was reading an interesting story about a very famous novelist. I forgot her name. sorry, I'm not much of a literary guy. I hate the literary question on Jeopardy. But it was this great analogy about Christmas. It was, it's good that I don't know her name because I'm about to kind of rip on her a little bit, as the story that I was reading did. She was a rather homely-looking woman, and however you want to take that. And she lived a life kind of in seclusion. She didn't have a lot of friends. But supposedly she was just a brilliant novelist. And she wrote these adventures, you know, these stories of adventures in the West. And over time, you know, there's this, you know, about this, you know, male hero. And there was this woman that was the object of his affection. And many people often accused her of basically writing herself into the story because she always wanted to live the kind of life that she never had. This woman that this, you know, Western guy was just enthralled with was beautiful and gorgeous and had this life full of mystery and intrigue. And they always looked at her and said, you know, you're writing yourself into the story. It's like, no, I'm not. Like, yeah, you are. And you think about human history, God has written himself into our story for real. I mean, for real. He didn't just stay at a distance like an author writing a book. He literally wrote himself into the story. He got involved in it, in the messiness of it, and in the day-to-day of it. And so just ponder for a moment what that means, that God, this God that's out there that created you, that created me, has come down here to earth to be among us, to be around us. And this is the kind of thing that you could ponder for a lifetime. Just focusing on God with us. It's been said of John Wesley that his dying words were, God was with us. God with us. That God has come with us. What exactly does that mean? It says that Mary, she just, you know, as everything was happening and all this stuff was coming together, it says she just pondered this. She just treasured this moment because Christmas is too big for your mind to conceive. But most of us, we don't even allow ourselves to ponder it long enough to really think about the implications of what Christmas really means or what really has happened. But it says Mary just treasured all this stuff. She savored all this stuff. I mean, think about for her. For her, this has been a journey that's been just under a year long. From the time the angel first came to her to going to see her relative and finding out that, you know, she too was having a baby in her years. And then Joseph getting the whole thing confirmed and then showing up and kind of being ostracized and wondering, God, is this really, really what you had planned? And then out of nowhere, these shepherds come in and say, we hear the Messiah's in this room. And she just kind of takes all this stuff in as if to say, God, what are you doing? And so this Christmas, I just want to say, you know, how is it that you could take these things and ponder? What does it mean for you to really put Christ in Christmas? I think for you, it just really means finding a way to ponder and really reflect on what exactly Christmas means. And if you have I assume probably none of you have pen and paper, because I mean, who brings pen and paper anymore? But you probably have some sort of fabulous phablet or a iPhone or something that you could finger peck out some things on. And I really just kind of want to give you a couple ideas for how is it that you can come and see and sit and ponder this Christmas? How is it that you can reflect upon really the meaning of Christmas and the point of Christmas? How is it that you can take after Mary's lead and really just kind of reflect on what this whole thing means? It's more than just a baby being born in a manger. It's more than just a story. It's more than just Jesus is the reason for the season. How is it that we can kind of practically really put Christ at the heart of Christmas so we don't put the pressure on everything and everyone else to make Christmas picture perfect for us, is really kind of what we're getting at. And so I just want to kind of give you just some practical ideas of this before we move on to the rest of the text. One is very simple, and this may seem self-serving, but it's the farthest from it. And that is that you would just commit to be here at church every single week for this entire Christmas series. Because after all, this is the Christmas party where we just lift up the name of Jesus. I mean, as you look at the songs we sing, don't just love when Christmas music comes back around. I mean, there's something about it. And whatever happens, sometimes people go, oh, well, how come that last song wasn't a Christmas song? Let me just let you in here. If it was about Jesus, it was a Christmas song. All right? If it was about Jesus, it was a Christmas song. If anything, it was a song that framed in all of the Christmas music you're going to sing. Jesus, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. Did you hear the words of that song? And so often we get to the Christmas moment, the Christmas play, the Christmas songs, and we talk about Jesus like he's not even in the room. Do you realize that God, when he came there, God was with us and he's still with us today. Wherever two or more are present and gather in my name, I will be there in their midst. I have sent my spirit. I will go away, but I will spend another. I will send myself to live in your hearts. Whenever you come together, you become the body of Christ. I am here with you. And so Alex so beautifully framed that for us in worship. Listen, we're going to be singing Christmas music this season, but we don't want to sing it like he's not in the room. And so I want you, we're going to be having a Christmas party every Sunday between now and Christmas, and then we're going to have one big one on Christmas Eve. And by the way, we've been planning the Christmas Eve service since October, and I don't know how to say it. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. You just saw a little snippet of the kind of the work we've been doing to kind of lead up to it. Kind of all that whole video series will kind of culminate there on Christmas Eve. And by the way, that video is also on Vimeo. If you got a Vimeo account, or you don't have a Vimeo account, just go to vimeo.com/essentialchurch. If you don't know what Vimeo is, we'll link it on our Facebook page and website and stuff like that. So you'll be able to see all those series. If you want to share them with somebody, you can do that. But really, I would encourage you just to be here. Whatever else you got going on, just be here. I mean, if you're already here today, I assume probably you'll be here the rest of the series, because let's face it, if it's 39 degrees and raining and you're here, you'll probably be here for everything. So I'm just going to let that go. Second thing I encourage you to do, there's 10 of these, by the way. Second thing is just go back and read the Christmas story. You'll find it in the beginning of Luke, and you'll find it in the beginning of Matthew. And then you can also kind of read the way John sort of like gives it to you in a very philosophical, theological sort of way as well. And I think John's takes a little bit more thought to really contemplate what's going on, where he basically says, you know, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with man, the Word was God. And then I love the way the Message translates it. It just says, and he came down and basically pitched a tent in our village. It's just a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done. And so maybe read it in different translations. Just spend time reading the true Christmas story. I know part of my tradition growing up in my family was on Christmas Eve, we would all get together around the tree, and my dad would read us 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And my hope is that maybe not just on Christmas Eve, but maybe leading up to it, you'd find basically a different one of the different Christmas stories. Maybe read it in a different translation every night. Maybe go through and read it in some paraphrases and the messages and read the Christmas story over and over and over and over again this year. Because really the point isn't just to do a quick drive-by, to quick come and see and go, yeah, okay, Jesus, Christmas, I get the whole deal. But no, like Mary, ponder these things. Savor these things. Get beyond just what happened and think about what it means. And so read through that story. Explain the nativity scene to your kids. Now, if you've got, some of you have nativity scenes that are bears and fish and dogs and cats, you know, playing each of the parts, that's fine. If you want to use that, that's an object lesson. And let the kids play with them. And trust me, if the country bear nativity scene breaks, that's not a bad thing, okay? It's better that the kids know it, and it'd be even probably a good thing if they break that thing and get a real nativity scene or something. I don't know. I'll tell you this, I got little plastic action figures of nativity scene for my kids, and they have fun playing with it. And it's funny because I used to like pack it up with the Christmas stuff, and last year I think it just kind of happened to have gotten left out. And it was really funny because Jackson comes and goes, I found Jesus! And it was, you know, he pulled out a little action figure. It was kind of a cool moment in a sense, you know? But explaining the nativity scene. Explain what it was like for each of them. Help them comprehend it and going through it. Ponder the question, what does Jesus coming to earth mean to us? What does it mean about us? What does it mean about God? What does it mean about this world? What is God coming and writing himself into the human story mean about us, about God, about the world, about how he loves us, about how he values us? About his closeness. Last month, I really enjoyed watching many of you all write what you're thankful about every week on some sort of social media, whether it was a blog you kept up, or Facebook, or a Twitter account. Just one little note and kind of finger pecked out, you know, what I'm thankful for is, and you kind of came up with like 25 things to be thankful for. And perhaps maybe for the Christmas season, you could just maybe do something similar. It says, because God came to earth, it means blank. Or when you really think about Christmas, it's all about blank. And just writing that out and sharing that with your friends as you ponder. And what I thought was interesting was in that Thanksgiving time, there were some folks who came to certain days and they go, I can't think of anything to be thankful for. Somebody help me. And like these people just like, some people ridicule them, but most people just kind of dogpile them with all these great things to be thankful for. Think about how that would force you to come up with 25 things because you get a little break because you're already 8-9 days in the Christmas season. So you only got like 16, 17, 18 left to go. I think it was at 17. Do my math real quick. Think what that would mean if you just had to come up with 17 different things that Christmas means. It's almost like forcing you to go through what Mary was going through in that moment, just kind of on a daily basis. Just to put that out there. To begin each day with this prayer, and I've been doing this recently. Jesus, you came into the world to save sinners like me. And since that was the reason for the first Christmas, I will celebrate you this Christmas. The Apostle Paul says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came. The first Christmas I have a friend of mine who makes Christian t-shirts. I've been dying to get him to make this shirt. He won't do it. He keeps saying he will, but he won't. I just want to get a Christmas shirt that says, I'm the reason for the season. That's, after all, what Paul says. I'm the reason that Jesus came down. It was me and my sin and the fact that I'm such a mess up and I screw things up so badly. I needed Jesus to come down to save me. So I was the reason for the first Christmas. And so just waking up every day and going to bed every night and just saying, Jesus, I'm the reason you came for Christmas. I'm the reason you came that first Christmas. So this Christmas, this next Christmas, I'm going to celebrate you this entire Christmas season. Read through the lyrics of Christmas songs, the Jesus ones. Let's contemplate Grandma got run over by a reindeer. How glorious that would be, son. If one of your grandmothers, i.e. my mother-in-law, let's ponder on these things. Now, sorry, you can't resist, right? No, but really, just read through them. I mean, just especially the second and third verses of some of these songs. They're just amazing, packed with theological thought and ponderance. Now, the beautiful thing about artists is they just take that time to think deeper. And some of the most beautiful thoughts about Christmas are contained in these songs. You read through Joy to the World. You read through Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You read through some of these songs and just go through and contemplate it. That you wouldn't sing the songs of Christmas like Jesus is in the room or like it's just a Christmas song. And I know, you know, on the Christmas music station, we'll just kind of throw in there Jingle Bells along with Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. We just kind of sing them all and we can mindlessly just go through them and let them be background chatter for us. But I don't think Christmas was just background chatter for Mary. I think she hung on to every single word that they said. It's believed that when Luke was writing the book of Luke, that he says in there, he went to eyewitnesses to get firsthand accounts of the stuff that he's writing. And when you read about the stuff that he writes about Mary, he contains the most of the words about Mary when she gives kind of her thoughts and her ponderings. Most believe that this whole section came directly from Mary herself. That the quote of the shepherds was from Mary. You think she said to them, oh, can you tell me exactly what those angels said? I want to know word for word. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jeremiah. Okay. Haggai, or whatever your name is here. Shepherd boy. What did he say? Okay. What did he say again? I think she got that down word for word. And put that all together with the stuff that she had heard. She didn't just get a drive-by of the Christmas message. She stopped and pondered to write all these things. That's why it says, and she says, you know, I just pondered these things in my heart. I just started reflecting, what does all this stuff mean? I want to get it down. I want to know. And so these Christmas songs, it's amazing the gift that we have in them. Just read them. I'm not saying they're scripture, but they're great reflecting and ponderings of those who've come before us who thought about this event. Watch the Nativity movie as a family. Now, yeah, I know. How many of y'all make it your family tradition to watch Christmas Vacation every year? Yep, the hands go up. How many of y'all make it your goal to watch Elf every year at Christmas? All right. How many of you are in the Touching Families? It's a Wonderful Life. Any of those? Yeah, a lot of those. All right. Perhaps maybe adding to this list, they made a movie about it. It's the Nativity movie. It's just adding to the list. And it's kind of funny because those other ones are kind of fun and they're kind of joyous. But really, as fun as those movies are, it doesn't lead to much pondering or reflecting. Here's another thing. Tell people when you see a characteristic of Jesus in their life this season. You know, if we, after all, if we've asked Jesus in our heart, he's going to come out. And just where you begin to label the people in your life and just say, you know, Jackson, the way that you shared with your brother, that's like Jesus in you. You know, if Jesus were here in the room, he'd do the same thing. And so seeing you do that would be like being with Jesus right here at Christmas. And so just begin to label where you see Christ at work in the lives of other people, lives of people in your life and in your house. And you just begin to label where you see Jesus. After all, I believe Jesus is present in your home. I believe there's things that people are doing in your house that is motivated and spurred on by him, by his spirit, and by his love. So just call that out. Come and see that. It's an invitation to come and see. And so many people miss what God is doing in their midst because they're looking for the spectacular. We'll get to that in a minute. And then the last thing, do what the shepherds did next. Number 10, go and tell. Go and tell somebody about it. It says, when they had seen him, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Now, angels showing up in the Bible is pretty rare. I mean, in the Christmas story, it's happening all over the place, right? I mean, it's like there's an angel every other verse. It's like, you know, angels show up to Mary. Angel then shows up to Joseph. Angel shows up to Zechariah. Angel shows up to the shepherds. And you kind of get this idea and this picture that, man, if I lived back then in that day and time, I'd have seen an angel too, because angels are kind of showing up everywhere. I mean, first there's one angel to the shepherds. There's a bunch of angels to the shepherds. There's angels everywhere. And it's pretty kind of cool. I mean, I would believe in Christmas, and I would really experience the joy of Christmas, God, if you could just tell me this is one time. What I really want is just to see an angel this Christmas, because that would be amazing. And here's the thing I don't want you to miss. The shepherds got an angel, but you know what everybody else got? Shepherds. The shepherds got an angel, but everybody else got shepherds. Where did everybody else hear the Christmas story from? Shepherds, right? So somewhere between four at the least and maybe 30 or so at the most. That's just assume there's a bunch of shepherds out there. I mean, I'm just picturing like every shepherd in town saw this thing. So like somewhere between like 4 and 30 maybe even 50 shepherds or whatever at the most. We don't really have that many in the Christmas play because they don't fit on stage. But I don't know how many there were. Could have just been 2 or 3. Could have been 50. I don't know. It just says shepherds out there keeping their flocks by night. Somewhere between, you know, 4 to 50 people got an angel. But the whole rest of the town and the rest of the world ever since has gotten ordinary, everyday people like you and like me. And you see, I think part of the reason why we don't go and tell people about Christmas is because we're thinking God's got some other plan. God's got some other way he's going to tell them. I mean, he's going to do it somehow. I don't know if he's going to use multimedia. I don't know if he's going to use an advertisement. I don't know if the angel's going to come to people's hearts. I don't know what gets people to come to church on Christmas, but, you know, somehow it just got to happen. No, from the very first day, from the very first Christmas until this Christmas, it's always been about ordinary, everyday people like you and me going and telling. Only a few got an angel, but everybody else got a shepherd. And some of you are thinking to yourself, well, who am I to go and tell? I don't think you know what shepherds were then. I mean, they were like the redneck UFO sightings kind of people back in the day. I mean, seriously, that's what it would have been like. You know, I'll tell you, there was a big bright light from heaven coming out. Sure it was. Sure it was. Yeah, Bub, I believe it. All right, sure it was. I mean, these are the country redneck folks of the town. And for some reason, that's who God uses. If God can use Bubba, he can use you and me. I'm just saying, there's a message in there somewhere, right? If God can use the guys on Duck Dynasty, he can use you and me. I mean, if Uncle Si can preach the gospel, you and I can preach the gospel, right? Can I get amen on that one? Yeah. All right, Jack. So go and tell. Go and tell what God has done in your life. Go and tell them about the reason for the season. Heck, I'll make it easy for you. Just go and tell them about church. Go and tell them about the stuff that you're learning and seeing at your own church. Because look, here's the deal. We invite Jesus to come here every single week. And people every single week say, I don't know what it is about this church, but just I just feel God there. I sense God there. I feel God there. I experience God there. Go and tell people about that. And I'm not just saying this because we got a Christmas Eve service coming up. I did some numbers on this. Do you realize we have 1,100 seats available for Christmas Eve? Just think on that for a second. 1,100. We've never had 1,100 people show up to anything here. Easter, we had 800 this past year, which blew my mind. Last Christmas, we had 600. We have the potential actually to just about double that this year, but it's only going to happen if you go and you tell. And it's not because I just want to pack the building out to pack the building out's sake. It's because that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's about shepherds who heard and went and told. It's about people having an experience with Jesus that they just can't keep inside. They did the only natural thing there was to do, and that was to go and to tell somebody about it. Pastor Bobby spoke so well last week about being bold, about getting out there and just telling somebody. I mean, heck, just go say, hey, I don't want you to miss out this Christmas. And this Christmas is probably going to be a train wreck for you like it is for me, like it is for me every single year. But that's because we're putting too much pressure on everything else to make it the picture-perfect Christmas. Just do me this one favor. It'll make all the difference in your world. Just show with me the Christmas Eve service. It's going to be funny. You're going to have a good time. You're going to laugh. And it's going to be something you won't regret. And I guarantee you, you will not regret coming to Christmas Eve the service this year. I know last year we kind of took the year off of Christmas Eve just because a lot of stuff going on. But hey, we kind of went over the top this year with it. We'll have a lot of fun. That's all I can tell you about it. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And Christ is going to be the center of it. And I really want you to be a part of that. I want you to go and tell somebody about that. Of course, I'll just give you a shameless advertisement for right now. We got tickets for the services. They don't cost anything, but it helps us kind of estimate and guesstimate how many people are going to be there. We've set aside tickets for every single service. So there's seats that can be filled at every single service. And yes, there will be a service that sells out this year. I don't know which one it is. So make your plans now and invite people. And here's the thing. I would rather you take an extra ticket that you're going to give away. But they got to come. You got to listen. If I'm going to give you this ticket, you have to come because we need these seats. So you got to commit. And they'll be like, blah, blah, blah. Get them to commit. At the very worst case scenarios, you can always call us and say, I'm going to tear this ticket up, pull one of yours out in reserve, and put it back in the pot. Okay? Because we actually have extra tickets printed for seats that don't exist. But I'm assuming some of you are going to take tickets you can't use. So just tear them up and let us know. Hey, I tore up three tickets for the 6 p.m. service. So could you make three more available for somebody else who could use it? So these, by the way, I don't want to say go on sale today. What did I say? Just go on giveaway today. They go on giveaway today. And really, if we have to add an extra service, we'll add an extra service. I don't care. Got everything worked out. I got my child care worked out that whole day. It's a lot of fun. Every single time somebody's come to the Christmas Eve service, every single time they say, that was amazing. I'm going to do that again this next year. And that's why it's grown every single year we've had it. So this Christmas, just once again, if you're going to prepare to make this Christmas the picture-perfect Christmas, we're not going to put the pressure on people. We're not going to put it on presents. We're going to put it on the presence of Jesus Christ in our Christmas to make this Christmas a picture-perfect Christmas. And we got to be intentional about that because it doesn't just happen by accident, because every other voice in town is going to be calling us to come and see. And if you're waiting on an angel to show up for you to tell you to come and see, it's not going to happen. It's a shepherd like me coming to you right now and saying, listen, Jesus has come. Just think on that. God is with us. Think on that. And for you, like every other shepherd in town, you need to go and tell. Would you join with me as we close? Father, as I think about your word and everything that you've done for us, and I contemplate how you want to use me this Christmas, something I don't really think about. At Christmas, I think about maybe what you've done in the past. I think about, what it means, but Father, that you would use shepherds means that you want to use me right now. That you're not relying on angels, and you're not relying on some major overpowering thing, Father. You're relying on me to go and to tell. So, Father, may I just begin right now my own heart just to ponder these things and think about what Christmas means. And reflect really on what it means that you've come down to earth, that you've written yourself into the story. You've taken on flesh and blood. And Father, may I not keep this amazing news to myself. And in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our praise team if they'll come back up really as soon as possible and start playing, just because, I don't know, there's just some of those moments, and not to go all musical on you, but I remember asking Chaz, like, why do they sing so many songs in a musical? Sounds like an odd question in a way. And he says, because the point is that the script would push you to the point where the only thing you can do is sing at that point. And if you really think and contemplate about Christmas and you really think about who Jesus is, at some point you'll get to the point where all you can do is just sing about it because it's too amazing to think about and to comprehend. And so you just move to and you just say, God, I reflect on that. And I just want to sing about it. And I'll cut to the chase for the rest of you in the room. What it means at Christmas, what it means that God came, is it means that he loves you and me enough that he's not going to leave us in our sins, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, the Apostle Paul said. And I would encourage you to pray that prayer every morning of Christmas. That God, you came that first Christmas to save sinners like me, who I'm the worst. And someone has put you at the center of Christmas this year. So that's why I invite you every single week to fulfill what Jesus did on the cross. That was the fulfillment of everything that happened at Christmas, came to a head right there at Easter. Jesus provided an example for 30-some-odd years, and then he gave his life for you and for me. We would never again be separated from him. And we're going to be unpacking the rest of this Christmas story as we go along, but for now, just leave it at that. I want to encourage you to come down the center aisles, return down the sides. If you're in the center section, you kind of move that way and come down across to here, and you guys all kind of come down those aisles. If you want somebody to pray with you, I encourage you to do that. If you just want to come to the altar and just spend time with him here right now at the altar, spend time with God, just praying and contemplating the meaning of Christmas.